I was reading a story this last week, and it was a story about a woman. She was in her middle ages, and 45 to 50, someplace in there, and she was in her routine of the week, and things were just going along, and she was kind of in a hurry, and she needed to make a stop at the grocery store. So she pulled into the grocery store, she shut off the car, she put her hat on, she kind of adjusted everything and got out and started to go into the grocery store. And as she was going into the grocery store, the Spirit of God said to her, "I want you to pray for everyone in the store." She says, "Okay, I can do that." So she walked in, she got her cart, and before she did any grocery shopping, she took that cart and she walked it all the way around the outside of the store and came back to the place where she started. And as she did, she prayed for everyone she met in the store. She prayed for them, just asking God to place a hand of blessing on them. And then as she was going through the store, she started to meet this same person. Each time she would meet them, they go in opposite directions. And so they would go down one aisle and they would meet and they said hi to one another. And then they come into the next aisle and they would meet again. And then they would say something like, "Well, it's nice to meet you again." And then they hit on the next aisle and say, "You know what, we got to stop meeting like this." And they just kept going. But every time she met this woman, she started to pray for her. And she noticed there was something going on in her, like there was something troubling her. So she started to pray for her. And she got up to the to the checkout. And she was just starting to go through the checkout. And this lady came up beside her and kind of stopped her cart right a little bit behind her and just stood there for a little bit. And as she was standing there waiting, this lady who'd been praying looked over at her, and she kind of acknowledged that she was there. And then, is there something that I can do for you? And she says, "You know, every time we met in the aisle, I sensed that there was a little peace and safety around you." And she says, "Well, thank you, but I've been praying for you." And she said, "You know, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but you know what? I've been praying for you." And the woman says, "Thank you so much. You have given me peace and safety in this day." And they hugged in the aisle before they go through the cash register, and they parted. Now, it doesn't have any more to the story than that, other than to say that this woman was listening to the Holy Spirit and had an influence on one person in that store, probably more than that, but that person in particular, she had an influence on that day because she was listening to the Spirit of God. In 2017, we did a series here called Christianity in Post-Christian Culture. It was a series that looked at the culture that was around us and said, how do we influence the culture for Christ? Because the Christianity that we were seeing was kind of, people were falling off the wagon, and so how do we do that? And we talked about three things in that four-week series, and today we're going to go back and review that a minute. Because I think this idea has everything to do with the power of the gospel, actually with the priority of the gospel. Last week we saw how the gospel of Jesus Christ is the number one priority of the church. That is what we've been called to do. That's what we've been called to share. That's who we are. Because of the gospel, we're saved. And so the gospel is number one priority in our lives. But how do we share that gospel with the people around us? How do we do that? And today we're going to do that by looking at a story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, and you're familiar with this story. This is a story of Zacchaeus. And in this story of Zacchaeus, we're going to see how Jesus did his sharing of the gospel, how he went about doing that. And so would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter. As you're doing that, I want to tell you a little bit about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector in the town of Jericho. Now, it says here that he was a chief tax collector. That means he was the head honcho, probably over the tax collectors of Jericho, probably over the tax collectors of Jerusalem, and quite possibly over those who were in Galilee. So he was kind of the head tax collector of the area. Now, if you know anything about Jesus' disciples, one of his disciples was named Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector. And in my back of my mind, I'm just thinking, Israel's not that big, and if he's a chief tax collector of an area, perhaps he either had Matthew underneath him, in other words, as a subordinate, or he was a friend of Matthew's when they got together to hang out, because tax collectors didn't have many friends. And so the tax collectors would get together and they'd hang out. And so I just think maybe that Matthew might have been a friend of his. But the interesting thing about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus had everything he could possibly want. He had money, he had power, and he was successful in life. He had what we wanted in our lives. In fact, when you see someone who has got wealth and they're successful and they have power in their lives and they have kind of control of their lives, doesn't that something that you want? And sometimes we're jealous of those types of people. But the people of Israel were not jealous of this man. In fact, they hated this man, because he had a tendency, like all tax collectors, to gather the tax that Rome said he had to gather. In addition to that, he would gather another 10, 15, 20, maybe 25% more that was his cut. And so they were being taxed more because of this man. And so we see Jesus coming on his route to Jerusalem. So now Jesus is moving from the Galilee area south toward Jerusalem, and he's taking the road that runs along the Jordan River that then cuts up through Jericho up toward Jerusalem. And as he's going this direction, he comes to the city of Jerusalem, of Jericho, and we pick him up in verse 1 of chapter 19. It says, as Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quickly come down. I must be a guest at your house today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. And meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Would you pray with me? Father God, we just ask that you would teach us this morning what it means and how to be an influence for the gospel on the lives of people that are around us. Lord, we ask that you would teach us by your example in the life of Zacchaeus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things I find interesting in this story is that Jesus begins this process of influencing him by showing compassion to Zacchaeus. It says that Jesus entered the town of Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector in the region, and he'd become very rich. So we've talked a little bit about who this man is, but I want you to think about this with me. So this man has everything he wants, and he can do anything he wants. He has power and success in his life, and yet he comes to this place, and he sees Zacchaeus, and the question is, why did he choose Zacchaeus? What is it about Zacchaeus that made him so interesting to Jesus? And so it says in the next verse that he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So just consider this. Who do you ever see climbing trees? Children. Okay? But now you have this middle-aged, a little bit porky, well-dressed man who has climbed up in this tree. And now I have to think about this a minute. The sycamore tree, it's going to be 8 to 10 feet tall or more, okay? And so the height of people in that age was probably about 5'5", 5'6", somewhere in there. And he's up above everybody in the tree, okay? And as Jesus is walking by, all he can see is the crowd ahead of him and then Zacchaeus. He is right in front of Jesus. Now, is that normal? That's abnormal, okay? People don't climb trees to see what's going on. Now, maybe they do, but it didn't seem like it to me. So he's up in the tree, and Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, and he says, there's a need here that needs to be met. Now, what did he see? He saw a man dressed in successful clothes, and he's hanging out in a tree when normal people would be on the ground. So he sees a need. Jesus sees a need. So compassion begins by seeing a need in the life of an individual. Kind of like the person I talked about earlier, this woman walking around, she saw a need and she started to just address it. She started to reach out to it. And that's the next thing that Jesus does. Jesus goes to him and he says, he looks up at Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. So he sees a need and then he goes to meet the need. And the first thing he does is he calls him by name. Now, I want to say something to everyone here because sometimes we think that names are not important. Okay, so we come up to somebody and we don't know their name and we just kind of excuse ourselves by saying, I don't know his name. You're saying this to yourself. I don't know his name, so therefore I'm not going to say his name. I'm just going to kind of go, how you doing, man? You know, you kind of make out like you know the person, but you really don't remember the person's name. Can I say that that's kind of a lame excuse for relationships? Wouldn't it be better if we just went up to the person and said, you know what, I'm sorry, but I forgot your name. And then when they tell you the name, then you say, hi, Steve, how you doing? You know, names are really important to people. Consider the next time that someone talks to you and they call you by name. It means something to you. And if you call a person by name several times in a conversation, that says you're important to that person. So Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, how did he learn his name? How did he learn his name? Well, it could be that Matthew was walking right beside him and says, that's Zacchaeus up there. That's a possibility. It's also a possibility that Jesus said to one of the crowds, who's that man up there in that tree? And they said, well, that's Zacchaeus. And so Jesus learned his name somehow. Maybe he went up to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, what's your name? No, he would have said, hey, you up in the tree, what's your name? I don't think that's what he did. I think he got the name from somebody, but then he used the name to address Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. Doesn't that sound a little forward to you? Okay, I'm Dave Johnson. I'm coming to your house today. We're going to have lunch, and I'm going to have supper, and I'm going to stay overnight. You know, that's a little forward, okay? But Jesus doesn't have a home. He's on his way to Jerusalem. How's he supposed to say something to this man? And so I think he introduces himself and basically says, I want to come to your house today. Now, for Zacchaeus, Jesus is a pretty important dude. Whether he's heard about him or whether he has just kind of experienced him, maybe he sat under his teaching a little bit. I don't know. But it says here that Jesus saw a need, he met the need, and then there was a response to that need. It says, Zacchaeus climbed down quickly and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Here we see the beginning of what I call relationship. So compassion, seeing a need, meeting the need, now presents the opportunity to build a relationship, a friendship between these two people. So Zacchaeus climbed down quickly and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. He was happy that Jesus was coming to his house. He thought, this important man is now going to come and be in my home and eat at my table. And so he was excited about it. So where is this connection that Jesus had to this particular person? Well, in Matthew, it tells us that when Matthew became a follower of Jesus, it says that Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. That's how the Jewish religious people thought about these people, these tax collectors. They were disreputable. They had no reputation at all. In fact, they were scum. And it says, but when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does this teacher eat with such scum? So Jesus had a habit of meeting with people who were out of sorts with the culture, maybe not quite what everybody would want to be with. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 11, it says, the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. He's a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. So Jesus, in this process of reaching out to Zacchaeus with the gospel, with the understanding of who he is as the Son of God, the one who is going to die for the sins of all men, he reaches out to this man as a friend, and he is influenced. Zacchaeus is changed at that very moment. It says, "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord, and he said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated anyone of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.'" Why is that significant? Because this man is a rich man. When was the last time you saw a rich man give away at least half of his fortune just for no reason? No, they hang on to it pretty tight. That's the reason they're wealthy. Okay? This man had a change of heart. He started giving away what he held most dearly to, because he was a tax collector. And to be a tax gatherer, you had to be hated by the people that were around you. So he had no friends in the people. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't worship anymore because they wouldn't let him in. He was disreputable to them. He was a sinner. And the people wanted nothing to do with him, and I think maybe Zacchaeus maybe felt the same way about them because he had treated them that way. But it changed his heart. He says, "I'll give back the money that I've cheated from people." You see, there was something that happened in Zacchaeus that day by the compassion Jesus showed to him. He called him by name. He invited him into his house to have a meal, which meant, "I want to be friends with you." And Zacchaeus said, "Absolutely, I want to be friends with you. I want to know who you are. I want to do what you want me to do." And so he changes his life. And Jesus says, he says that salvation has come to this home today. "For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." You see the reason that Jesus came to this earth? To seek and to save those who are lost. Those who are sinners and have not found a Savior. You see, Jesus is the Savior. The gospel is the way to the Savior. And it's through compassion, meeting a need, finding a need, meeting a need, and building a friendship with someone that we can have influencing them toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's often been called friendship evangelism, but I think it's more than that. I think it's seeing the needs in the culture around us and understanding that everybody that we meet has got a need. Everyone has a need. Now, if you tend to be like me, as you know that I am, that I tend to be very task-oriented, and sometimes I lose track of people in that. Now, some of you are like that. Some of you can lose track of the people that are around you because you're so into what you're doing. And then there's others of you who are so into the people that you don't have a problem with this process, okay? Compassion and relationship for you, hey, this is exactly where I belong. Some of us don't act that way. And I have to think about this a lot when I'm out in public. And so I take you back to the story we started with this lady who went to this store who was on a task to get the rest of her groceries for the day. And as she goes into the store, she has a simple prayer. "Lord, what do you want me to do in here?" And the Spirit of God says, "I want you to pray for the people that are in here." So she responds to the Holy Spirit and starts going through her task, but with a different motive in mind, not just picking up what she had to get, but thinking about what God has asked her to do. And then she started meeting people and meeting this person, kind of like Zacchaeus. It just didn't seem like it was normal. And all of a sudden, there was a simple relationship that was built there. Now, I don't know if this woman ever saw this other woman again. We don't know, okay? But we do know this, that for that very moment in that day, it made that other person feel better as a result. And she knew that she had been prayed for that day. And so I want you to remember this idea of compassion, seeing a need, meeting the need, plus relationship, being a friend, extending a warm, loving response to someone brings influence for Jesus. That's how we change a culture. We change a culture one person at a time as we become sensitive to the way the Spirit of God works in our life. Now, in the foyer out there, actually in the Faith Cafe, there's a table out there called Compassion International. Now, Compassion International is this thing in totality. So you walk out there and you look at the kids that are on the table there, and the kids that are on the table have a need. That need is they need someone to sponsor them so they can go to school and change their lives as a result and hear the gospel. So you can go out there and you can see the things, the people on the table, the kids on the table. You can pick up a packet, take it home with you, sign up, and start a relationship with this child by sending a letter to them and saying, I'm going to support you for however long it takes you to get through school. And as a result, you will have influenced that child for eternity because they will hear the gospel as a result of your helping them go to school with the money you spend. Now, I think it's about $36 a month. And in my mind, $36 a month, that is less than one pop a day, okay? That's, I just bought a candy bar the other day, and it was $1.85 for the darn candy bar. This is less than having one candy bar a day for a month. Plus, you'll save it on your waist. And you will have influence in the life of a child for their whole lives. I want to encourage you to take a look at that this morning as you go into the Faith Cafe, as you go in for that muffin you're going to get with your mom, and you're going to sit down and drink a cup of coffee, go over to the table first, pick up a packet, take it home with you, and take on the life of a child. That's compassion. But compassion doesn't belong just overseas. It's not just about missions. Compassion is about what we do every day. And I want to encourage you this week, as you start every day, to say, Lord, would you just show me a person that I can see a need in, that I can meet the need. That's where it begins. See a need, meet a need. See a need, meet a need. That's compassion. See a need, meet a need. Build a friend. Influence that friend. Father God, thank you for your example of how to share the gospel in a simple, way. Lord, it's just through kindness. And Father, we know that kindness is the way that we came to know you. You showed your kindness to us, and as a result, we placed our faith in you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to change the culture of our community by seeing a need and meeting a need, and hopefully then building a friendship which will influence a person to come to know you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.